may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So tonight, desire the Word. Let's pray. Lord, give us Your presence and Your power and Your wisdom as we look into Your powerful Word this evening. We're just thankful for this privilege on a midweek service and want to leave here tonight changed because we've spent time with You in Your Word. So thank You. We love You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So wherefore, he starts off the chapter, wherefore what? Now that we know that we've been redeemed by the blood, now that we know that we've been saved by the Word of God, we're different, we're new creatures in Jesus Christ, we can lay aside malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. We can be different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And as we grow in the Lord, we're better equipped to set these things aside. Notice he says, lay them aside. Well, the only way we can do that is to grow, to become more like Jesus. And the only way we can grow and become more like Jesus is through the Word of God. So that's why Peter says, I want you to lay these things aside. Now let me tell you how it's going to happen. I want you as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And so we see as he introduces this truth here tonight, that God wants us to desire it. Think about that. How many times do we force ourselves to read the Word rather than desire the Word? What's the problem? It's a heart problem. It means our heart isn't where it needs to be. If it was, we would desire. Remember when you first got saved? How you just couldn't get enough of the Bible? Right, Gemma? Just can't get enough. But the devil's crafty, and after a while, you start losing that because the external excitement of everything being new begins to fall away. And after you've read the Bible 10, 20, 30 times, now it's about what's good for me. And I love the Lord, and I want to spend time with Him in His Word. Not, oh, I'm going to find something new. You might not find something new every single morning anymore. That's just the way it is. But God wants us to desire it. That's a conscious decision. Go, if you would, to Psalm 119, verse 92. Longest chapter in the Bible happens to be about the Word of God. And David is our example of someone who had a desire for the Word. Notice Psalm 119, verse 92. He says, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Don't turn away yet from Psalm 119. Notice he says, your word, Lord, is my delight. I delight in the Word of God. Now look at verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So, how many times have we talked about love being action? So what do we need to do to show that we love the Word of God? Spend time in it. It's one thing to say, I love the Word. You can carry it around and hug it. But if you really love the Word, it means you're going to spend time in the Word. David said, I love it. David said, I delight in it. Peter's telling us here, I want you to desire it. Because he goes on to say in 1 Peter 2:2, the sincere milk of the Word. He says the Word of God is nourishment. One of the main reasons we should desire it is because we need it. It's our food as Christians. The sincere milk of the Word. Now, to save time this evening, I won't turn to every single passage, but there's a lot of passages in the Bible that liken the Word of God to food. There's a reason for that. Because this is what we need to be feeding on if we're going to grow in Jesus Christ. It's what God has given us to nourish us and to grow us. So, Job 23:12. Job says, neither have I gone back from thy commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Then in Psalm 119:103, David says, How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Then, in Jeremiah 15:16, he says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. So Jeremiah says, I ate the word. Then in Matthew 4:4, when Jesus was in the desert, what did he say to the devil? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, likening the word to bread. Acts 20:28. Paul, in saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Feed the church. He says, you're the elders, you're the pastors here in Ephesus. Your main mission is to feed the flock. Feed them what? The only thing there is to feed Christians, the Word of God. And then in 1 Peter 5, when Peter is talking to the pastors, what does he say? He says, number one responsibility, elders, feed the flock of God. In 1 Peter 5:3. So, again, feed them what? The Word. Now let's look at Hebrews 5 and see again how God likens the Word to food, and specifically in this passage, milk and meat, to drive home the point that God wants us to mature from the milk to the meat. Hebrews 5, notice verse 12. For when, by the way, Paul here is rebuking these Hebrew Christians, and he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Why do we always send a new believer to the Gospel of John or the Epistle of Romans? Why don't we tell them to read Revelation first or Ezekiel? Because you don't give babies meat. Babies drink milk. So you send them to the passages that are easier to digest. You don't send them to the meat until they are able to handle it. And that takes maturity. It takes time. He talks about maturity here, doesn't he? The reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So as we're growing, our discernment is growing. As we're exercising ourselves in the Word of God, we gradually graduate from milk to meat. Isn't it interesting that God takes the Word and likens it to food? And that's what Peter says. As newborn babes, number one, he wants us to desire His Word. Number two, the Word is nourishment. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. And notice, number three in verse 2, that ye may grow. Why do we give a baby milk? Well, because they're going to starve to death if we don't. Right? And someday that little baby grows up. But it took food. You don't give a baby food, it dies. You don't give a Christian food, they spiritually dry up. He says that you may grow. The Word of God has the power to grow us, to mature us, to make us more like our Savior. Nothing else on this earth. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Most of you know verse 8, but it's a great verse. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, where again, Joshua is about to take over as the leader of Israel. And isn't it interesting that God tells Joshua that if you're going to be a good leader, the Word of God needs to be a part of your life. Notice verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The two things the world is looking for, to be prosperous and successful, Joshua 1:8. What's he say? Meditate therein day and night, and observe to do it. So Peter says we'll grow, but we have to feed on the Word. Now let's go to Psalm 1:1. Most of you know this passage as well. Psalm 1:1. And we'll look at the first three verses here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall... there's that word again. Prosper. Same word God used when talking to Joshua. Now, in the very first psalm, we're told that if we want to prosper, what do we have to do? Verse 2, our delight must be in the law of the Lord, and in that law must we meditate day and night. Exact same phrase in Joshua 1:8. We cannot grow without the Word. Go to 2 Peter now, chapter 3, verse 18, the last verse of 2 Peter. Of all the things Peter could have finished with in his two epistles, he finished with an exhortation to grow. Notice he says, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Well, how are we going to do that? In the Word. So Peter makes it clear that if we're going to become the Christian we need to be able to lay aside these things that shouldn't be in our lives, what did he list there? Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. What do we have to do? We have to desire the Word, feed on it, and what will be the result? We will grow. That's why the first thing we tell baby Christians is what? Be in the Word every day. And pray every day. Right? And be in church. Those are the three basic things we tell every new believer. Read your Bible, pray, and go to church. It sounds, you know, to those of us who have been saved a while, it sounds so simplistic. But how many Christians don't do those three things? You can't grow without them. Why do we need to go to church? Because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need the Word. That's how we grow. So Peter says to desire it, its nourishment, you will grow. And then he finishes there in verse 3 of 1 Peter 2 by saying, if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If we've tasted the grace of the Lord, and if you're born again, you have, for by grace are you saved, then the Word of God should be a vital part of our Christian lives as our food. It's interesting that he uses the word taste in verse 3. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, after he just told us to desire the sincere milk of the Word, have we tasted that the Lord is gracious? The longer we're saved, the more we're thankful for the grace of God. Amen? Because of this. Because we're in it. We're growing in it. We're maturing in it. We're feeding on it. And more we taste that the Lord is gracious. So what a beautiful truth. I know it's one that we already know, but it's just great to be reminded of these things sometimes, that the Word of God is so powerful. Not only can it save souls, like we saw last week at the end of chapter 1, but it grows Christians. But it's not osmosis. It'd be great if it was. If we could put this under our pillow and it would just kind of soak in. Wouldn't that be awesome? But it doesn't work like that. We got to open it. We got to read it. We got to memorize it and meditate in it and study it. If we do, we will mature. From the milk to the meat, we'll become more like our Savior Jesus. We must desire